This is Songs to Discuss
with your daughter,
with Willa Krishnaswamy
and Ravi Krishnaswamy, a dad and daughter team. Welcome back, listeners. Oh my gosh. Hi. It's been a while.
Not that long.
We took like 3 weeks off. We shouldn't have done that, Dad. We probably like lost our whole audience, if you know what I mean.
No, I think our audience needs time to process everything we're doing.
Yeah, but it's episode 11, 1-1.
So is it episode 11 or is it episode 1 of season 2?
Yeah, I guess so. It could be interpreted as episode 11 or episode 1B.
I think let's decide on air. I think it should be episode 11. It'll still be called season 2, but I like when you keep the actual numbering all the way.
Yeah.
And you don't start over.
Yeah.
Okay.
'Cause then it feels kind of like, ugh.
Yeah, like, oh, we're all the way back where we started. So.
Yeah.
What's
up?
Well, very busy this semester.
My day was kind of chaotic, so.
Well, you made a new batch of Bernie's Bites.
Yeah.
Bernie'sBitesCT@gmail.com if you want to order.
Yeah, you got to be in the Spring Glen area, though. So. Yeah. Well, what song are you doing, Dad?
Olivia Rodrigo's Driver's License. Before we get to that, should we hear from our sponsor?
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
So.
I forgot to mention, if any of you guys feel like, I forgot to ask Daddy about this, but I wanted to do this thing with the listeners. If you're listening on anchor.fm, you can send us a voice message. Or if you're doing Apple Podcasts, you can write a review. Or we have an Instagram, @songstodiscuss. You can DM us. But I feel like the sponsor segment my dad recorded needs to be re-recorded. I don't know. His voice is like kind of scratchy, and I feel like it needs to be recorded. If you agree, vote by either sending us a voice message off of anchor.fm/Willa.
Krishnaswamy.
Or if you're doing iTunes, you could write a little review. If you know us on Instagram or our Facebook page, DM us. So we're doing Driver's License by Olivia Rodrigo. Now, before we... you're going to say something?
Well, we got to play an excerpt.
Yeah. Before we start, though, I want to say something. I feel like I'm not extremely surprised this is, like, such a big hit and all, because, like, I feel like so many artists have come from, like, a starting path of being on, like, from Disney. Like, Disney is kind of their launching pad or something.
You are totally in that world right now with the Disney and Nickelodeon kids, the Dan Schneider shows.
Yeah, I'm
in iCarly.
I watch Victorious.
Victorious, which is where Ariana Grande came from.
Yeah.
And
iCarly has Miranda.
Miranda Cosgrove from School of Rock.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
But I feel like there's so many Disney stars who, like, Disney is their starting path, and then they kind of, like, use that as, like, a little boost up into stardom. Like, if you think about it, Miley Cyrus came from Hannah Montana. Demi Lovato came from Camp Rock.
Yeah.
Olivia Rodrigo is from... Two. She's from Bazaardvark and High School Musical, The Musical, The Series. Both of them I have not watched, but... That name, wow. High School Musical, The Musical, The Series. As they say on Switched On Pop, like, just don't, like...
Don't even
question.
Well, I want to know about Bazaardvark.
Yeah.
What is that?
You should go Google it quickly.
All right. Whoa. We just went on a two-minute deep dive of Bazaardvark in Wikipedia and... YouTube. So it's a show about two teenagers who become really popular on Voogle, which is like Google for their comedic music videos.
Yeah, which reminds me a lot about on Nickelodeon. This is obviously Disney Channel Bizarre Burk, but on Nickelodeon, instead of Apple phones and laptops, and Schneider's production company, he's the filmmaker for like Victorious and iCarly, which both have the same tech companies they use. So instead of Apple, they do a parody spinoff, and they have Pear phones, Pear books, Pear pads.
So this actually looks like a show you'd probably enjoy.
I
could see, like, as you were watching the trailer, you're like, I'm going to add this to my queue.
Yeah, that is.
So it's interesting because now she's, like,
Well, after that, she was on High School Musical, the musical, the series.
Yeah, which is ridiculous.
I know.
Those movies are so bad.
I know. They're so bad, they're kind of good.
They're so cheesy.
They're so cheesy. But
I want to point to the Bizardvark because isn't it funny that... her first thing was like a show where she becomes a big singer on the internet.
Yeah.
And now she has this
huge song
on the internet,
which is crazy.
And so she's basically living out the story that she was acting in.
Yeah.
Just a few years
also,
ago.
Also, just to tell you, Disney Plus's High School Musical, the musical, the series has a holiday special. You know what it's called?
What?
High School Musical, the musical, the series, the holiday special.
Oh my gosh.
You gotta be more creative, Disney.
So.
also, there's this new show called WandaVision. It's about two characters from Marvel. I don't watch Marvel, so I don't know. But there's Wanda and Vision. The show's called WandaVision.
Oh, really? The other character's named Vision?
Yeah, people at school were telling me who are Marvel geeks, huge. And it's called WandaVision because of.
Okay. I hope they weren't pulling your leg. We should watch that too. We'll have to add that to the queue.
Yeah, let's get back to this. Okay, what I was talking about was I feel like it's not too surprising to me that she's like launched, not into stardom, but kind of, yeah, because of like she had a Disney start. She kind of got like a little fan base that had been with her, and then
what you're recognizing or acknowledging is that there seems to be a sort of pathway to celebrity for these young actors and singers who come up through these kid shows.
Yeah, like I said, like Demi Lovato was in Camp Rock. Miley Cyrus was in Hannah Montana singing. Ariana Grande was not the lead in Victorious. That was Tori Vega. But
so
she came out of that.
You know, actually, if you think about it, Justin Bieber is really the authentic...
Because he just came out as a singer.
He just, boom.
He didn't, like, have any acting career. But let's play an excerpt of the song. So here's Driver's License by Olivia Rodrigo.
And you're probably with that blonde girl who always made me doubt. She's so much older than me. She's everything I'm insecure about. Yet today I drove through the suburbs. How could I ever love someone else? And I know we weren't perfect, but I've never felt this way for no one. And I just can't imagine how you could be so. Forever now I drive alone past your street.
Great line.
Killer line.
All my friends are tired of hearing how much I miss.
Yeah, also she has a great power ballad voice.
Yeah, do you remember when we first heard it on the radio?
No.
When we were driving around?
What did you say?
And you were like, oh, she's from that High School Musical or something like that.
High School Musical, the musical, the series.
And you knew the whole backstory of the song, even though you hadn't heard the song yet.
No, I had heard the song.
Okay.
Someone at school told me. Maya told me.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I remember the first time I heard that line, I was like, that's a really good line. And then we've been hearing this song on the radio ever since.
Yeah, and just everywhere. So, we'll get to the whole story behind this song later, because there's this whole drama behind the song.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, yeah, Yeah, we'll get to that later. Let's go to the questions. Okay, I'm not going to say the first question because the first question is basically like another question I have that you'd repeat. But what is the piano? Okay, so question one. What is the piano chord progression? Like, is it recognizable? Is it like a typical pop song that it would have?
It's so typical that when I posted on my Facebook asking my friends, many of whom are musicians themselves or study music, what song does this remind you of? Where is this progression from? Like, I literally, every comment was like, this progression's from everywhere. It's everywhere.
This chord progression?
Yeah.
It's not very, like, original or anything. It's
No. So let me play you the main thing. And you and I watched, she did a little bit of a video on the New York Times.
Yeah, that we watched.
About the making of the song. And she talked about the, she used the word suspension, but she was unsure about her usage of the word. It is kind of like a suspended note. Played with an ostinato. So let me show you. It's in B flat.
Also, just remember, I'm not like at an elite piano level, so I don't know what an ostinato is. Yeah, I'm 11 years old, and I've only been doing this since I was 3.
So, oops, I hit the claps.
So what's an ostinato?
Oop. That's an ostinato, just something repeating over and over. And it's great how they use that in the production to connect to the sound effect of the car door opening.
Yeah.
With the beeping that happens when the car is open, so.
Yeah, we should have played the intro when we played the excerpt.
One.
Sing it as you play, just so.
Five, oh, okay. 1/6, and then 4, and then back up to 1. You could sing it.
Okay, wait,
ready?
Tell me the progression again.
2, 3, 4.
One. Two, I don't know.
6, minor 6. 4.
And then back to 1.
And then back to 1.
Yeah, I don't know if I've actually, like, recognized this progression in a lot of songs, but it does sound kind of familiar.
It's kind of like a variation on what they call the 50s chord progression, mm-hmm. which goes 1, 6, 4, 5. So that would be... That's very 50s.
Yeah.
Like Blue Moon?
Yeah. We're getting
Blue
very...
Moon.
Oh, I didn't know you were going to sing it.
So I went scouring around to see why this progression felt so familiar in a modern pop context. And I came across two songs, one of which we actually spoke about last season. So do you want to hear a little comparison?
Yeah.
All right.
First of all, I'm just so amazed that you can, like, you did, like, as much research as you did because you were so packed with schoolwork this weekend.
I know. And then Willa comes running down. Dad, can you research this episode so we can record this weekend? I'm like, I'm on my 5th book of the week. My brain hurts.
But we're here.
We're here.
You plowed through that work.
I did. All right, listen to this comparison.
Just tell our listeners and me what song it's from.
Okay, so first we're going to hear Driver's License, and then we're going to hear Taylor Swift's Delicate, and then we're going to hear Adele's Someone Like You.
Okay.
Got my driver's license last week, just like we always talked about. Cause you were so excited for me to finally drive up to your house. But today I drove through the suburbs.
Crying, you hear that? 1, 6, 4.
Yeah.
Now.
Delicate.
1, 2, 6, 4.
4, yeah.
1, so it's very similar. Yeah. 2, and very similar pacing. 6.
6, yeah.
4.
And now Adele's, like you.
1.
1.
That's that's a 5 over 7.
Found a girl.
6. 4.
It always ends on 4.
1.
That's your dreams came.
5 over 7.
Guess she gave
6.
I didn't get
4.
Yeah, now if you're listening and you have no idea whatsoever about piano, like you don't play piano, you don't know chord progressions, you don't know what the 1, 5, 6
well,
is,
it's
you could.
Do you want to explain it?
I don't know if I'll be able to explain it as well as you could, so why don't you take it away?
Well, so it's music theory shorthand for songwriters and, musical theater. Jazz, where you just want to talk about chord progressions, and here we're talking about just like major tonal harmony. And so if the scale is B flat, that's a 1 chord, and then this is a 2 chord, which is would be a minor in a major. If you're in a major key, the 2 will always be a minor, the 3 will always be a minor. And then the 4 will be a major. And then the 5 will be a dominant. So. And then a 6 will be a minor. And then the 7 will be usually like more of like a version of the 5. And then back to the 1. So.
Oh my God, Max should listen to this podcast. We should.
Oh, Max knows all this stuff. He's probably correcting me in his head right now.
No, I know. I'm not saying he like doesn't know this. I'm saying like I don't know. He might like it if we.
Oh, listeners, Max is Willa's excellent piano teacher.
Excellent, superb. Well, question 2.
So.
Or wait, you're not done.
So okay, the result of my empirical research involving. Do you know what empirical research means?
No.
It means, like, going out and, observing data. Empirical data is something you observe, whereas, like, theoretical, it's like you're thinking through a problem and you're coming up with an idea. Theoretical,
okay.
Empirical is just, like, I went out and I finally found a couple songs that made me feel like I knew what I was saying, which was that this is a very common chord progression that you've heard before, and it feels very, very comfortable in modern pop terms. And they all do that 1, 4, 6, 4, back to 1. They don't go to the 5 like the 50s chord progression, but as you heard in Taylor Swift and Adele, a lot
they
of times...
They went to the 5-7.
A lot of times there's a second chord in between the 1 and the 4.
Oh, wasn't there also a 5?
Well, it was a 5 over 7, yeah. It was that passing chord.
Yeah, also, listeners, I'm sorry I interrupt my father way too much. So, if I know this is audio, so it's kind of...
You just got to deal with it.
I'm sorry.
You're just with us. So, very common progression, feels very comfortable. And I just wanted to mention that in that example, I changed the pitch of Taylor Swift and Adele, so they were in the same key, so you could hear it very easily.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Also, that might be why it's also really successful. Oh, successful.
Yeah.
Sorry. question 2. What did the producer, there's only one producer for this, what did the producer do to enhance it, like, beyond the keys in the voice? It doesn't seem like there's a lot when you listen, but I bet there like is all some subtle things. I know one of the things that I wanna answer this question for some people. Olivia's mom recorded her car sound,
on her voice memo and sent it to them. That was pretty cool.
And so they have that in the intro of the song. Dad, can you play that for the intro? Can you play that the intro of the song?
Yeah, hang on a sec.
Car noise.
Let's play that one more time.
Yeah.
It's a cool effect.
Yeah, it's cool. It's definitely cool. And definitely the driver's license.
Ding, this. Ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding. I got my driver's license last week. Oh, Dad.
Yeah.
You know that Tate McRae song?
Yeah.
Where we did the bluegrass cover?
Yeah.
We should do that for this song. I got my
Nobody's going to understand what you're talking about until they hear the Tate McRae bluegrass cover, which we will reveal in our Tate McRae bluegrass cover episode.
Yeah, or we'll talk about her song, but wait, we're getting off track.
Off track, yeah.
So that
production element, I mean, first of all, it just gives you a very, like, very visual storytelling, like, perfect moment at the beginning where she's literally just gotten her driver's license, and you hear her getting into the car. How cool is that?
Yeah.
It takes you right into her world. And then I think it works really well because her lyrics are very visual in certain spots, particularly in the bridge, and they really help you kind of live inside that place specifically.
The bridge was so cool. The New York Times video we watched was great. Oh, that's explaining that.
Yeah, we'll link that.
Stop. Wait, we're going to link that. Oh, yeah, in our post.
Yeah, but in terms of production, the production's very simple. There's some cool synth pads in there.
Yeah, I was going to say, I heard some synths. And also in the bridge, that's really what I was hoping you'd get at.
Yeah,
like,
the
is
bridge.
Is there some, like, reverb? I don't know. It's like,
you know what? The bridge is you know where my ear goes, which I don't think I've heard anybody say about this song, is that I think the vocals, the way the vocals are produced, the backing vocals in the bridge, remind me of Bon Iver. Do you know Bon Iver?
I know he's an indie folk artist who did a collab with Taylor Swift in her Folklore album.
Oh, pretty good. All right. Yeah, Justin Vernon. So he does these, like, really distant-sounding falsetto, very sad, plaintive vocals on his records. Let me play a little of the bridge, and then we can maybe listen to a little bit of Bon Iver.
Okay.
Hold on.
Red lights, stop signs, I still see your face in the white cars, front lights.
So, she's got these great harmonies.
Yeah, is this in the head voice or the falsetto range?
Oops, we're gonna bleep that out.
Sorry.
This part. Hear that part?
Mm-hmm.
That reminds me of Justin Vernon's vocal stuff. Here's some
Bon Iver again.
Yeah, some of his stuff from Bon Iver.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yes!
Those, like, beautiful harmonies that are very distant with a lot of reverb. And then the glissandos where they bend notes. They go.
Yeah. Yeah, was Olivia Rodrigo's bridge sung in the head voice? Or the falsetto range?
No, that's, she's belting there. But the backing vocals are all in this falsetto.
Yeah.
And this is what he's known for in Bon Iver, is these pads of falsettos.
Yeah.
Which you don't, I mean, it's kind of a sound that he's not the first person to ever do that. I've heard that in, like, old recordings and, like, Crosby, Stills, and Nash. But he really, that plus the production element of the space and his very, like, real sound.
Yeah.
Doesn't have a very, like, trained, perfect sound with his pitch. makes it really, really cool. I actually kind of ripped that sound off on the Highbird record in a few spots.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Back to the Olivia Rodrigo. What were the few spots with the synth pads?
Well, there's those cool bends where, like in the middle of the first verse, it almost sounds like a Doppler. I'll play that.
I don't know what that is.
Sound really quickly. Hold on.
To finally drive up to your house, but today I drove through the suburbs crying.
So you hear that? That thing's cool. That.
Yeah.
And then here.
That also sounds like a car engine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not only does it sound like a car engine, but like there's this sonic property that happens. It's kind of hard to explain, but like if you've ever seen like an ambulance coming towards you, and it's going weer, and then when it goes to the other side, it goes weer, and it's a different pitch, and it bends as it passes you. That's called a Doppler effect, because what's happening is as the sound is traveling towards you, the motion of the sound being created, because it's being created in motion, it's increasing the frequency of the sound waves. And then when it's going away from you, it's decreasing the frequency of the sound waves because of the motion. So it actually sounds like it pitches down. So to me, like that sound like almost sounds like a bus passing by, or I don't know. What did it sound like? What did it make you feel like?
I don't know, kind of getting sad.
Wah, wah.
Kind of like, I don't know, like, oh my gosh, you're in such a happy relationship, and then you said forever, and now she drives alone.
Yeah.
Past the street.
The last thing I want to point out in the production, which I think is cool, is the subtle use of claps in a very quiet song. Like, you wouldn't be clapping along to, like, a quiet ballad, right? But he uses Dan. His name is Dan Nigro. Dan Nigro, and he uses these sampled claps that sound like this.
Yeah, at first you might be hearing this and you might be like, really? But like if you listen closely,
it's like this little clippity-clop that is instead of like a big snare. I think that's really neat. I just like it.
Yeah. Okay, on to the next question. Excuse me. On to the next question. I hiccuped. what is the vocal performance / range in this song?
So she starts out in that really quiet vocal fry range. In fact, I've heard her vocals in the verses compared to Billie Eilish.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
And also compared to Lorde.
Yeah.
And then in the choruses, she's belting.
She's like,
yeah. And I think that's what, you know, I mean, it sounds like it is a cliche, but like in almost every project I've ever been on it, and like advertising music, it's like the mandate is it always has to build. And in this song, her emotional build is so well delivered by her vocal performance. That's what makes it a hit, because people really feel it in her performance. I felt it in her performance.
Yeah, it's really emotional. And that's all I had. Oh, wow. Billie Eilish compared. Wow.
Mm-hmm. But she almost sounds like when she starts belting, she almost reminds me of Florence and the Machine. She like she's got real strength in her voice when she pushes it. I'm very impressed.
Yeah, the Tonight Show, or when she was on the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, her live debut of that song was good.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Do you know the exact like vocal range? I don't know the notes and the. I don't know. I always talk about high notes, and I always like mention the exact notes.
I haven't.
I was going to say you're not a vocal coach. You're not.
I'm not a vocal coach. But you know, the thing is, when it's arranged well for someone's range, you don't think about their range because it sounds perfect.
Yeah. Also, if you don't know what I mean, like the exact notes, like for example, the highest note ever sung was a G10. So you'd say like the note, you'd say the note, like an E or a D, and then you say the octave.
Yeah.
Like a D8. Like a D8 compared to a D4, like I don't know.
But see,
just giving an example.
Well, here's where I want to explain something to you. I think this song is a good example of how you can't just listen to range, pitch range, when you're judging the expressiveness of a vocal, because the pitch range is not very wide in this song. So it's only an octave and a half. I'm just figuring it out. It's only an octave and a half. The build is not in the range. She does get to the top of her range in the chorus and the bottom of her range in the verse. So there's a build there. But I don't think that the vocal performance is about the range. I think it's about the going from that quietness, being able to sound really beautiful and delicate right up near the microphone in the verse, got my driver's license, and then all the way to the chorus where she's belting. I'm not going to do an impression of that.
Please do.
No.
Please do.
No way.
Please do. Please do, Dad. I'll say, please do. I really want to see this.
You never. That's not the same key.
You guys should hear Hybrid's highest note. It's amazing. It's so good.
Okay, anyway. So I want you to understand that vocal performance is not just about getting to a G10, okay?
Okay.
Just because Mariah Carey and Ariana Grande can do that or whatever.
No, Mariah Carey's highest note is a G7.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. What do you got next? Question wise.
Oh, I thought you were like, what are you going to say next? You can hit like a B9.
Yeah. What's your highest note?
I don't know.
Let's hear it.
I don't know. Okay. Hey, you?
No.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. There has to be an app though that like you can put, like you can sing something into it, like voice memos, then it'll tell you. Like, there's got to be an app. Like, there's an app for everything.
Vocal. Interesting. You could use a tuner. That's what you would use. And then you just have to know what octave you're in.
So, like, really, the conclusion is the vocal performance in this song is more about the emotional build, not the vocal build. Yeah.
Yeah. It does build from lower to higher in her register, but it's not, she's not going up into Ariana Grande whistle voice or anything like that.
Or Demi Lovato belt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely not. I was going to say something, but I'm not, because I'll get sidetracked.
Yeah. Any other questions?
Yes, I do. I'm excited for the last one. This one's fun. But I was just going to point out that this is the first time we've talked about vocal range performance on the podcast, which is cool. So number five, this is kind of a general question. I was kind of like searching for a question that I had, and this was kind of really general, I guess, that you could ask for a lot of other songs, but I was curious to hear your answer. So what has made this such a record-breaking single? And if people are like, well, I don't know this song, so how is this record-breaking? Dad, explain it. Like, you can tell the audience that this is such a huge song. This is.
So, you know what my theory is?
What?
My theory is that it's a very good song.
Yeah, it is.
It's very well performed.
Definitely.
It's very simple and understandable.
Definitely. I think, like, I think one thing that gets you a great artist if other people can relate.
Yeah. It's very specific in its imagery.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just like you broke my heart, but it's like I'm just got my driver's license yesterday. Oh, all of a sudden we feel like we're part of this person's life or in a very specific time and driving through the suburbs, looking at the street, having a feeling about passing by a place as you're driving is a very relatable feeling for a lot of people. But here's the thing. I don't think it's all just all of those elements. I think it's also that this song has been almost created as a social media toolkit. Like there's a whole backstory about it between her and her cast.
Yeah,
her castmates.
I know. I carved out a question for that. We're going to talk about all the drama, so don't spoil it.
Okay, you're going to talk about the drama, but the fact that there's this drama about the song, and then the fact that if you go to the New York Times interview with her, she actually talks about thinking about having a moment that would make sense within the TikTok mechanic of like transitioning between video clips. So having like a very specific transition that people would hear and be able to cut their video to. And then you and I were looking today and on a couple of other days, there's like zillions of TikToks of this. Not only people
some of them use the hashtag and don't even.
I know. So. Well, let's forget those. But I mean, there's versions of people who are just re-singing the song. There's versions of people who are rewriting the song from the perspective of the blonde girl or the perspective of the guy or the driver's license itself.
Or the street.
Yep, or the street. And then there's all these TikToks that sort of model her video where she sort of falls into the water in a different outfit. I think it's really interesting that she wrote it knowing that she wanted it to be popular on TikTok. And I think that TikTok has contributed to it being
a famous song.
Yeah. I mean, another song we talked about last season, Blinding Lights, was also
a big TikTok
dance. I think that song would not have been the song it is on the radio without all the TikTok dances to it.
Yeah. Definitely. Okay, we're at the big popcorn moment we've been waiting for.
Okay.
We're going to talk about the drama, and I'm going to ask about your response to it. So, if you don't know the whole story behind this, I will fill you in. Don't worry. Daddy can also help me along the way, even though he's not... I know everything about celebrities. It's crazy. It's like...
I don't know where you're getting those copies of Us Weekly.
Oh, that's Bobji.
Busted. All right.
Anyways, oh my gosh. Okay. So, I'm trying to word this. So,
put one word in front of another and you'll get through a sentence.
So you know how she's in High School Musical, the musical, the series?
Yes.
So, one of her castmates, can you maybe click stop just for a second, all right, I needed to refresh my memory, I was losing my words there, I was like, so,
all right, tell us everything about Olivia, Sabrina, and
Joshua, apparently, so, they're cast members.
Mm-hmm.
And in High School Musical, the musical, the series, I wish there was a shorter abbreviation I could use, but it's just
keep going.
They had a relationship in the series, and then it was rumored that they were also in a relationship outside of the series. And apparently, I did not know this part of information. Apparently, he taught her how to drive.
Oh,
Joshua Bassett taught Olivia Rodrigo how to drive. And so,
wait a minute. First of all, I will have you know, first of all, I don't think mommy wants you to drive until you're like 50, okay? But whenever you learn to drive, I'm going to teach you, not some dude you're hanging out with on some TV show set who's the same age as you. That's crazy.
No, you're
the last person
me.
Who should teach anybody how to drive is like a guy who's like 20 years old or whatever.
Yeah,
18 years old. That is bananas. Guys that age do not know how to drive.
No.
I'm sorry.
You got to teach me.
Yeah.
Your dad taught you. Is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Anyway.
That is so kind of, that's
he
crazy.
He taught her to drive.
That's
okay.
Not.
That's crazy.
That's not really.
Yeah.
This. Anyways. And so then I really don't know how this came up, but apparently they broke up. And then Joshua Bassett was seen in public with Sabrina Carpenter. And they made TikToks together, and they, like, were spending time together in there. Now, rumoredly or confirmed, not sure, but they're probably dating. Sabrina Carpenter, she's blonde, so she's that blonde girl that she mentions. And so, I don't know if I explained it well. Dad, can you just summarize and then mention, because you know that Joshua Bassett had that song, Lie, Lie, Lie.
Right, so then...
And then Sabrina Carpenter had the skin, and then Olivia Rodrigo had driver's license. And
yeah.
So you can explain the whole, like, chemistry tenseness and...
So it's almost like they're writing a musical in real time.
Yeah, it's crazy.
In this, like, weird love triangle. Well, not weird. It just sounds like he dumped her and started dating Sabrina.
Yeah.
And she's understandably upset. So she released a song, and then he released a song and said that those are lies. And Sabrina Carpenter's song, I don't know enough about it to speak intelligently on what she's saying in that song.
But she said...
What is skin like? What is she saying?
She does say... Maybe we should just play an excerpt of the Joshua Bassett song. Or I don't know. I'm just trying to find a way to explain this because it is like a whole musical.
Well, they're responding to each other in real time with songs.
Yeah.
What I think is interesting is that it's what's at play is this whole idea of authenticity in pop music, and this idea of whether the artist puts themselves into their songs or not. And whether there's any distance between the artist and their songs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one thing that's making this song do so well is that it feels very honest because you start reading about all the drama behind it and you realize she just wrote the song after breaking up with this guy in real life. And so you have this sort of certificate of authenticity along with the lyric sheet. It's not like she just went into a writer's room in Nashville with a co-writer and said, let's write a breakup song. She talks about in the New York Times video, you know, how quickly she wrote this and she was like crying when she wrote it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, so in Skin, there's this line in the beginning that's like, maybe we could have been friends.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Maybe blonde was the only rhyme.
Yeah.
And...
first of all, you know what pissed me off about that?
What?
Well, when Sabrina Carpenter said maybe blonde was the only, maybe you chose blonde because it rhymed or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not at the end of a couplet in Olivia Rodrigo's song.
What do you mean?
She just says, what does she say? She says, you're probably with that blonde girl who always made me doubt. Blonde has never rhymed.
Yeah, that's so...
I mean, now you could make the argument that it rhythmically fit better because it's one syllable and brunette is two syllables.
Yeah.
And it sounded smoother to have a one-syllable descriptive adjective there. But you cannot argue that that word was chosen for the rhyme.
Yeah, definitely not.
What do you think about the whole authenticity thing?
I think it's I think it definitely makes for a good chat over Twitter with people. Like, oh my god, it's a conversation between songs. It's mm-hmm. like, oh my god, what do you think about this? Oh, I don't know. What do you like?
Did you hear the song that he put out in response saying lies? I'm trying to think if this has happened before in pop music. I think I'm sure there are some examples.
Yeah, I don't know. But apparently, when I was reading this article about it, apparently Wait, I just forgot what I was going to say. We can keep this in. It's fine.
Okay.
But what do you think of this? What are you like? Are you like, this is ridiculous. Just like, get over it. Or are you like, okay, this is kind of.
I don't think it's a very interesting subject to write songs about.
Yeah.
But I think that you don't always have to write songs about an interesting subject. You could write about a very mundane subject like a breakup, which 50% of the songs in pop radio are about a breakup in some form or fashion, probably. But, you know, then it comes down to, is it interesting and engaging? And, you know, it all comes back down to that line, though. I mean, really.
You said forever, now I travel.
You said forever, now I mean, if you can go through your whole career and write that one line, you're set. Like you've
why
done it.
Like what makes that such a good line?
It's just classic. It rolls off the tongue. It's rhythmically perfect. And it's so evocative.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think we've ever had like a gossipy conversation like this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, either.
Well, the only other thing we should talk about with Sabrina Carpenter is that she took over for Erica Henningsen in Mean Girls.
Yeah, this is totally unrelated, but I'm a big Mean Girls fan on Broadway. Not a fan of the movie, of the Broadway musical.
Well, to the point where you met Erica Henningsen backstage, and then you did a voice lesson with her.
Yes.
And she's amazing.
She is.
And Sabrina Carpenter is the...
She was the new Caddy Heron, but... this is unbelievable, guys. So she was taking over as Caddy Heron, for Erica Henningsen, and she had only two performances as Caddy Heron before it closed for quarantine and all that. And if you're not up to date, probably aren't. But the show is closed now, and it's not on Broadway anymore. And she had two performances out
there.
That's
so sad.
And that was her Broadway debut.
Yeah.
She is.
So just think about it. If Mean Girls had stayed open, then maybe she wouldn't have been spending all that time with Joshua
Bassett.
And then maybe Olivia Rodrigo would have never written this great song because she'd still be hanging out with Joshua Bassett. Who knows?
Who knows? I just still can't believe High School Musical, the musical, the series. Like, couldn't you have gotten more creative there? Like,
anyway, the title of that franchise is the least of its problems.
Yeah.
Okay. Should we tease the next episode?
Yeah. All right. The next episode is You Broke Me First by Tate McRae.
All right. We're going to stay with the vocal fry for another week. The serious vocal
this
fry.
This is serious. This is...
We're going to go to the extreme ends of the vocal fry universe in this episode.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm not... At first, when that song started, You Broke Me First started playing, I wasn't into it. But now I've kind of gotten used to it. And
it's pretty cool.
It's interesting. It's got a lot of production interests that I think we can talk about.
Well, we'll see you next week.
Yeah.
All right.
You'll understand this later, but come and get the nerve to listen next week.
Where'd you get the nerve?
Fold back your eyes.
Oh, boy. All right. Another episode of Misheard Lyrics. All right. For Songs to Discuss with Your Daughter, this is Ravi.
And Willa. This is a new ending.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye.